You might have noticed that there are many saints' days at this time of year. The month of August in particular is full of saints' days. I think almost every day there's another saint. Today's saint is Saint Dominic. There's a big image of him over here in the sanctuary on loan for this occasion, his feast day. Saint Dominic, founder of the Order of Preachers, whom we usually refer to as the Dominicans. Saint Dominic. So, as I said earlier, the Saint Dominic and Saint Francis of Assisi were contemporaries. There's even a tradition that they met each other. They were certainly living at the same time, and they had charisms that were somehow related. Of the two, Saint Francis of Assisi is much more popular. His joyful, simple spirit is so attractive to everyone. The Feast of St. Dominic brings back to my mind a memory from about 40 years ago now. I'll go back to my early years in Anuim community. Back in the mid-1980s, I was living in a household, an Anuim household full of young men, all in our 20s, and our director was Father Francis, of course. And at one point, Father Francis, trying to instruct us in the liturgical life, said, well, the liturgical life is not only the readings, it's also the saints. The lives of the saints instruct us in the ways of the spiritual life. And then he said, it's good to pick a saint that is somehow like you, or someone whom you think you could imitate. For some reason, then, Father Francis suggested that I focus on St. Dominic. Well, he knew that I don't have that kind of creative exuberance that St. Francis has. And that very expressive personality. I'm more laid-back person. At something like St. Dominic, I've tried many times to read about St. Dominic. People don't say much about his personality. They just talk about his work. But as a person, he seems to be kind of a boring person. So maybe that's what Father Francis identified in me. But anyway, the point is not about me, but about the value of the saints, the value of the variety of the saints. We can find saints who have personalities like our own, or who have interests like our own, or whose circumstances are somehow like our own. Somehow we can find saints who appeal to us. And sometimes it's the spirit of the saint, not the practical details of their life, that appeals to us. One of my favorites is St. Thomas More. First of all, he was a very balanced person, but he also had a great sense of humor. But anyway, my point is, choose saints who appeal to you and learn from them. Ask for their intercession. Follow them. So today we have the great St. Dominic. St. Dominic, among other things, is also known as the promoter of the prayer of the rosary. So when we pray the rosary, we also build on the tradition of the Dominicans. Let's turn to the scriptures of today. In today's gospel, Jesus is approached by the father of a boy who's possessed or is suffering terribly, seemingly from epilepsy. And the man, the father, had taken the boy to the disciples, but the disciples were unable to cure him. Now, this event takes place right after the Transfiguration, which we celebrated a couple of days ago, when Jesus and Peter, James, and John were on the mountain. The rest of the disciples were down in the lowlands, and the father of this boy approached them. So when Jesus and the three apostles came down, they encountered this difficulty. Jesus very easily drove out the demon, which is no surprise to us, because he has power over demons. But then the question came up, well, why were the apostles not able to drive him out? Why couldn't they help the boy? And they asked Jesus this, what went wrong here? Why couldn't we drive him out? And Jesus' answer is, because of your little faith. Little faith. Very little. Not even a mustard seed, yet. This problem of little faith has come up before, because Jesus often corrects the apostles for having little faith. Not enough faith to be available as instruments for God's power. It doesn't take a lot of faith, because the power comes from God, not from us, but it does take some faith. You have to have at least a mustard seed worth of faith in order to be available to God. We'll see this again tomorrow. We're going to be pondering tomorrow that famous story of Jesus walking on the water, and Peter walking on the water, and then Peter failing, sinking. Remember what Jesus says to him. We'll hear it tomorrow. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Little faith. See, the same problem we see in the apostles at the base of the mountain. Same problem Peter had on the water. The same problem that we have. Little faith. Not enough faith to make space for God. Why is it that we have so little faith? Well, we tend to trust what we see. We trust what we think we already know. We put ourselves in the center, not God. This is a kind of natural reaction to us. We look around, we figure out what we think is the way things should be. We think of what we can do, and that's what we do. And then when something beyond our power comes along, we can't do it, naturally, because we're very limited. Apparently, that's what the apostles did here when they were asked to cure this boy. They couldn't do it because they were relying on themselves. So Jesus says, you couldn't do it because of your little faith. Little faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Well, we don't have to move a mountain. But there are obstacles that are way beyond our power, which we want to move. Only God's power can do that, but he can work through us. And that's when Jesus says at the end of this gospel, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's a bit surprising, isn't it? To say nothing will be impossible for you? It's one thing to say nothing is impossible for God. Of course, nothing is impossible for God. But for us, it seems to us like almost everything is impossible. The point of Jesus is, yes, it's impossible, except by means of faith. Have a little faith. And then, what's impossible for us becomes possible because of the power of God. In today's first reading, we read from the prophet Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. But it turns out Habakkuk seems to have more faith than the apostles have. Because Habakkuk is facing an impossible situation. And he addresses it with faith. What's the impossible situation? Well, his people are under oppression. The wicked are dominating the good. And this is very troubling to Habakkuk, as it's troubling to us as well. Why is it that good people suffer and evil people seem to thrive? Why is that always the case? It comes up whenever we deal with political controversies. Whoever side we're on always seems to be losing, and the bad guys always seem to be winning. And the funny thing is, both sides always think that about the other side. They think the other side is getting an unfair advantage. But when it comes to God and people who are dedicated to God, it certainly seems true so much of the time that people who are striving to be good and who are striving to follow the ways of God, they end up suffering for it. And those who pay no attention to God or to the commandments, they end up thriving making a lot of money, seemingly having a happy life, posting lots of beautiful pictures on their social media, and everything is good in their lives. And so Habakkuk, the prophet, says, why is this? Why is this? Lord, you're immortal, you're holy, you don't love evil. He says, too pure are your eyes to look upon evil, and the sight of misery you cannot endure. Yes, Lord, you know what's good and what's evil here. Why are you tolerating what is evil and not allowing what is good to thrive? He explains that the oppressors are dominating and persecuting the people of God. Why? Well, this is where faith comes in, right? If we base our worldview only on what we can see, we would have to conclude that evil is more powerful than good, because it seems that way. But that's not what Habakkuk does. He doesn't rely simply on the way things look to him. Instead, he says, I'm going to wait for the Lord to show me his way. I will stand at my guard post and station myself upon the rampart and keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer he will give to my complaint. I'm not going to come up with my own solution. I'm going to wait for the Lord to reveal his way to me. That's faith. It takes a lot of faith, well, at least a little faith, to be able to wait for the Lord to reveal his answer. Because it always seems to us like we've waited too long already. What does the Lord say to Habakkuk once he decides to wait in faith? The Lord says, write down the vision clearly upon the tablet so that one can read it readily, for the vision still has its time. The vision meaning your perception that goodness should be superior to evil, that the ways of God should be proven to be better than evil ways. That's true, but you don't see it yet, so wait. The vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, this is the Lord speaking to the prophet, if it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. Part of the fruit of faith is patience. Patience in circumstances that seem intolerable, that seem evil, and circumstances that make us question, why is God doing it like this? The person of faith is able to wait. I don't understand why you're not acting, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing, Lord, but I trust in you. That's faith. And this is what the last line of the first reading says. This is the Lord speaking to Habakkuk the prophet. The rash man has no integrity, but the just man, because of his faith, shall live. Without faith, we become rash. We act with impatience. We take things into our own hands. We determine how we want things to be and set ourselves up for failure. But the just man, because of his faith, will live. When we decide to live by faith, when we accept in faith the mysterious ways of God, when we go beyond what is impossible for us and entrust it to the Lord, we live. Not only do we live, we thrive. Perhaps St. Dominic, who was a great preacher, could say this better than I can, but the basic truth is the same for every one of us in every age, and every saint believes this. Better to live by faith than to live by sight. Better to trust in God than to trust in ourselves. Because when we trust in God, then the power of God can work for us and through us.